So, will you guys open up to Revelations, please? And we're going to be there in Revelation 19, and we're going to start there in verse 7. So, we're continuing in our study of the different doctrines of the Bible, and tonight we're going to be landing on the church. So, we're going to be talking about the church today, and hopefully it'll hit home to you guys by the time we're done. And it's an awesome... It's an awesome study about who we are, why we come together, why are we here on this rainy day, sitting in here while it's raining outside where we can be home, right? So when you think of the church, a lot of people think of the church as a building, maybe this place. You know, Calvary Chapel is like a bunch of buildings all around. They're like McDonald's or Starbucks or something. There's like one on every corner. Sometimes there's like one right next to each other. But when you think of the church, some people think it's a building, it's a big glass, stained glass window. Well, that's not it. Some people think it's a big social club where people come and hang out. It's just a place where people can just hang out on Sunday mornings. They get together and hear the word and go home. So what is the church? So I want you to think about that. What is the church in your mind? Because some people have this perceived idea of, okay, this is the church. This is what we come together and do. But the best way to explain what the church is in one word is marriage. And that's a beautiful description of what the marriage, on what our relationship with Christ is, and who the church we are, and as a body together, who we are to Christ. And so many times in the Bible, we're called the church. The church is called the bride of Christ, right? And you think about that, and you think about marriage. And if any of you guys, are you married here today? Yeah, I guess. So you know, marriage takes commitment. It takes sacrifice. It takes saying, yes, I do. I will commit everything to you. And when we said that to Christ, we are engaged, right? When we accepted Christ, when he wooed us from far away, when he says, and I'm going to forgive all your sins, I'm going to give you a life better, worth living, instead of this deadbeat life you're living right now. And he says, I will do this for you. He kind of wooed us, right, from far away. And we saw him as like, man, Christ, you're awesome. I'm going to marry you. And once we said that, we are now, you know, got the engagement ring on our finger, right? We're ready. We got the Holy Spirit. So we're kind of stamped and we're ready for engagement. So right there in Revelations 19, verse 7 through 9, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And that's the fast forward of what we're going to have in the future with Christ. That is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's after we're engaged. What happens after you're engaged? You still have a wedding to go to, right? You're not married yet, but you're engaged. You're on the way to marriage. And that's who we are. We're on the way to marry Christ, right? And then that's going to be in the marriage supper of the Lamb, where we actually get together when he comes back for us, all right, takes us up, and then we're going to be married to him in this giant feast, and we're just going to party for like years. So, and it's exciting to me. So, but when did it begin? When did the church actually begin? Some people say it's in Acts chapter 2, where it actually began. Where the church actually began, where our love story of this whole marriage process actually began, was in the beginning, right? Genesis 1, in beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And it says there in 1 Peter 1:20, it says, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So even before the world was made, Christ was ordained to be our groom. He was there way before, ahead of time, before anything was made, before you ever even messed up, before you even said, I do, to Christ. He was there already. He was there to woo us, to be engaged to us. And that's who we are as a church. And if you kind of think of that as the picture of who we are and as a body of Christ, we are the bridegroom. And it's a beautiful picture. So, and then we get to, what does the church do? When we come together, say we're engaged now, what do we do? Are we just here just as people just hanging out and we just share a common interest in Christ? No, we have certain things that we do together. And then number one is fellowship and having a relationship with Christ. And that's the fundamental thing on what sets us apart from every religion, is that we have a relationship in Christ, that we actually know Christ, that we read about him, that he does stuff for us and we sacrifice for him and we have this awesome love connection with him, right? So the first thing that we do as a church, we fellowship and have a relationship foremost, not together, but by ourselves. In your personal time, you guys have a relationship with Christ, right? You guys wake up in the morning and you read the word. And I hope you guys are doing that because, you know, since he's not here, he's preparing a place for us in heaven. We should be reading about him, knowing everything about him, right? He's not just out and away somewhere and then, you know, long distance relationship, sometimes they never work, right? And then what happens? You kind of just lose interest in whatever, but what happens when we're in the word constantly, all the time? We're always reading about him. We're remembering his love for us. His love letters are written here, right here for us. And then his instructions. And when we read it, we understand who he is a little better. And we don't lose that feeling for him. We don't want to be cold. We don't want to be lukewarm. We don't be none of that. We want to be hot. We want to be in love with Christ. And that's our desire. We have to be in the word to know who he is all the time. But next, we also do worship. We worship, right, together. We just have worship right now. And that's just us praising God, just loving him. We can worship in so many other ways than just music. We can serve him. We can worship and just hanging out together. There's so many types of worship there. And then there's also through prayer. You got to be talking to him. You can't just be reading about him. Because it's just reading about or hearing about somebody tell you a movie. Don't people do that? And they do spoilers and junk, right? It drives you nuts. And they tell you, oh, they have movies like this and like that. It's like, oh, it sounds great, but you really haven't watched the movie, have you? You really don't have a connection to that. And so when we just read the word, it's just kind of reading about it, but we also have to be communing. We have to be talking to Christ. We have to set up that one-on-one time together. I'm not saying reading the word is bad, but no, it works together, right? You just can't have one without the other. We have to be talking about Christ. And so many times we just hear about God through other people. Isn't that when we come to church, we just hear about like the sermons and stuff, and we just hear about him, but we don't actually take the time to go in and build a relationship ourselves. So we need to be in prayer constantly, not just with ourselves together, but also as a body of believers. And that's the next thing. We fellowship and we do all these things, not just together in our own personal lives, but together as a body right here. So another thing that we also do as a church, every first of the month, we have what is called communion, where we break bread, where we remember the sacrifice the sacrifice of Christ and what he did for us on that cross. And we also fellowship together through service, right? Before you guys came in, I know there was a bunch of guys serving together, getting up canopies and things like that. I know Anthony was soaking wet to the bone. And it was just fun. We were just serving together, having a great time, even though it's wet and crazy and hectic. We had a good time serving the Lord. You know, just little things like that. And just service isn't just about doing work. It's about saying, Lord, I'm going to do this for you. I want to be obedient because I love you. And I want to do everything for you because you did everything for me. You sacrificed everything. And I want to give you a little bit of something that shows my appreciation. You know, that's service. Service isn't just coming here and like a job. But service unto the Lord is beautiful, right? Man, I could serve the Lord with no pay and just keep working forever. I could do sound, you know, with no pay and just volunteer because I love him, because he loved me first. And I could give everything to him, right, freely. And then we also, we minister to one another in the church, don't we? When some people say, hey, you know, my car broke down, can you pick me up? Or, you know, someone needs fixing. I know some of the widows sometimes have stuff in their house they need fixing. And then we minister to one another. We bear up the burdens of the weak, don't we? And that's a lot of the stuff that we do in this church. We minister to one another. But the next thing is a big one on why we're here together as a body in Christ, the bride of Christ, and that is purification. We come here and we purify ourselves because when we're waiting for Christ to come back, we're constantly preparing ourselves. If you remember, ladies, your wedding, or men, your wedding, that before you were married, what were you guys doing? You know, like days before, or maybe if you're a lady, maybe months before the wedding, you're like losing weight, maybe trying to get into that dress, probably do like five sizes down or whatever. I don't know. And guys, you're probably doing the same, or maybe just slap on like a tuxedo and comb your hair. I don't know. I've never been married, so I'm just, I'll know one day, and I'll let you know. No. But you guys were preparing, right? You guys were getting your nails did, your hair done, looking all fly, right? So before you were preparing, and that's who we are, we're preparing for Christ to come back for us. We're preparing our hearts. We're preparing our inner beauty that when he comes to us, we can be as clean as we can be. I know we're not going to be perfect. I know that. But that's our walk, and that's our time of growth. It's trying to prepare ourselves and purify our hearts so when we go to him, he says, hey, welcome in, good and faithful servant. And isn't that what you want? You don't want to carry around this baggage. Hey, Christ, I just came, but, you know, I know I messed up a little bit. I got all this baggage, but, hey, can I come in? I don't want to do that. I want to be, hey, I try my best for you, and I love you, Lord, you know. I don't want to bring guilt or shame or anything like that to the Lord, because one day he's going to judge us, you know. And I want him to be like, Lord, I'm on fire for you. I did all these things and stuff like that. I don't want all this baggage with me. So we're constantly preparing ourselves, right? Because Christ is out there preparing a house for us, a room, a place, that once we go there, we're going to be with him. So at that time, he's over there. What are we doing? We're reading the word. We're praying. We're doing all these things. We're purifying our hearts. We're looking pretty. All right? So guys, you don't have to wear like a skirt, or you don't have to dress up. But we're getting ready constantly. And one of the things is in Matthew 13:24, it says we're not a perfect church, right? You have the invisible church that you can't see. People that were before us that believed in Christ, they're invisible, right? They're you can't see them, but they're part of the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? But we're the local church. We're the visible church. And then sometimes the local church here, the visible church, is not perfect, right? And then Matthew 13:24 says there, you know, sometimes there's wheats and tares. If you read that parable and you know about that parable, there was a man that was sowing wheat. He was growing wheat in his field. And then when he fell asleep, his enemy, I don't know why he has an enemy, but he came in and he sowed tares among his field. And if you know what tares are, they look like wheat. And they grow like wheat, and everything about it looks like wheat, but they're not wheat. When they grow up, when those tares grow, they're poisonous, you can't eat them, and they mess up your crop, and it's just no good. So sometimes in the church we have tares. Sometimes we have people that are not altogether for Christ. And I know sometimes it's a little hard to swallow, and that's true, but that's kind of based on the relationship that we have with Christ, you know? So I asked you today, what is your relationship with Christ? Sometimes we get married for the wrong reasons, don't we? Some people marry for money, and sometimes, lack of a better word, you call them gold diggers, right? So sometimes you got women that, even men, marry for money, and that's what they want. They have no real love. They have no commitment. All they want is the money. Some people marry for just relationship status, to be higher up on the chain. And so many churches and so many people do this. They want to marry for these different reasons. People want to marry people want to marry Christ because it said, you know, health, wealth, and wisdom, and whatever, and all that junk. But we marry Christ for his love. And so many churches, you can see them, they have fancy light shows, and they have, like, people coming in on the stage, and they're flying down a zip line, I don't know. So they have all these fancy things, and they invest all their money onto just the show because they want to get money. And like Joel Osteen, you know, give me all your money, and I'm gonna tell you something that sounds good. They're going to tickle your ear just because they want the money. And that's wrong. That's the wrong reason to get married to Christ. And a lot of times some people get married to Christ because it's an arranged marriage, right? How many kids in Christian families, they just hear about Christ all the time? Their families tell them about Christ all the time, but do they have a real relationship with Christ sometimes? No, they just kind of hear about him. It's like an arranged marriage. If you were to be arranged for a marriage, you don't even know the guy or the girl. It's just, you got to be married to them. You don't even know who they are, right? So arranged marriage is not a relationship. It's just something that happens, something that you do, right? So I ask you, what is your relationship with Christ today? What did you get married to? Did you get married to Christ, or did you get married to something else? And then if you're married to Christ today, let me ask you, where has your heart gone now? Sometimes it's awesome to be in Christ, but then sometimes the cares of this world, they come in, right? Money and a different job, or sometimes things happen. You know, you get in a car accident, you break your legs, and things change. Everything goes downhill and whatever. So what is your heart? The Bible says in Revelation, you know, you have lost your first love. Sometimes we come to Christ, but then we get sidetracked with all these different things, bad, wrong relationships, being cool in school, right? Having your fame rather than Christ proclaimed. And there's so many things. I could go on and on, but you follow everything except Christ and you lose that first passion. And guys, how many of you know that, like, you know, some people get in this hump in their marriage where they start seeing all the faults of their spouses because they lost love. You know, love covers a multitude of sins. And so many spouses, they forget to feel their marriages. They forget to do the nice things. And then the Bible says, go back and do the first works. And so many people, so many marriages fail because they forget the love and the sacrifice and the things that they have to do to keep the marriage alive. And they get stagnant and they lose love and that fire, that fuel that burns inside of them for that spouse. And so many times that could happen in our marriage with Christ, right? Sometimes we can get sidetracked and we lose that first love in him, and we forget what it's like to be forgiven by him and all these things. So I ask you, what is your relationship with the Lord today? And if it's that, I don't know where you're at. You know, the Lord's speaking to you. He's telling you something, but whatever it is, go back and do the first works. Do the things that made you fall in love with him, right? And if you don't know Christ, read about him. We got so many people in this room that can tell you about Christ, people that can direct you on why he's so awesome, right? So with that, we also, as a church, we prepare our outside works, and that is through evangelism. So we don't just kind of work together as a body, but we also go out and we're like an organism. We're always constantly growing. We don't just teach the word of God and sacrifice and minister to one another, but we also go out and share the word, right? So we're also preparing. We're gathering up other people. We're creating new brides. So when we can bring them, when we go to heaven, we can bring them along with us, right? And sometimes you guys have people that you evangelize to and all that, and it's great. So that's what we do together. We have to be evangelizing together because it's like a cycle, right? So I know there's a triangle. On one tip is evangelism, right? The other tip is teaching. And then the other one is fellowship, and in the center of that is Christ. And then we should be doing all these three things together at once. And then that's the little triangle of the church. That's how I remember it. So I don't know if that helps you. But next we come on how we need to do these things in the church. And then the first one is love. If you have not love, it profits you nothing, not a zero, zilch. We first have to have love in our lives. And how do we get love? That's through our personal life with our Lord and Savior first, right? If you have that fuel and that fire, that you know that you have a relationship with Christ, that he gave everything for you, that he loved you, that he sacrificed everything for you, it's different. It's real different. And so many times we can forget about that. But no, we got to have love in our personal life. We have to experience it. We have to be reading God's word. We have to be living it. We have to do all these things. So we need love in our personal lives first. And then that should spill out into our everyday life, right? And guys, this for you married guys, this you or even bachelors, sometimes I tell the bachelors, you have to have love in your life with Christ, and that spills out to your family. And what better way is to practice love is to practice with your own family, right? So many times we fail to love our own families. And then that doesn't get past that, and then it just kind of corrupts everything else outside of our works. And sometimes I tell the younger guys, you gotta be, you know, you're not the priest of your home. Sometimes maybe you are. Maybe no one's a believer in your household. I know some people they're not, and they become default the priest of their home, and it's hard and it's frustrating. You know, when your parents aren't believers and they don't know what you're going through. You sacrifice all this time at church and they don't see that, and you're not getting paid, right? And it's frustrating, right? Sometimes you are at that place. But with that, it's an awesome opportunity to minister to your family, to grow stronger in Christ. Because guess what? That's like the training grounds. It's boot camp on when you actually get married, when you actually have a family. Because the family of Christ is almost, it's just the same. You can bring that same skills and those same abilities to this church. You can disciple people. You can share the word here. You can help people out. So you got to do that. And a good way on doing that is sometimes families, it's a blessing really to invite bachelors. And you show them on what a real family is, a real Christian family is. And that's a real blessing to the bachelors. When you show them how a Christian family runs, they get insight and they see how things should be, right? When you're the priest of a home and all those things, they see on what's going on, and they're going to utilize that and use it for the near future. So you got to be working on your personal life and your everyday life. You have to be practicing all these things. And that's foremost what we got to do. We have to practice love each and every day. And then next, how do we use love? By with the Holy Spirit as well. And the Holy Spirit gives gifts. You guys like gifts? Yeah? If someone gave you a car for your birthday, you'd be like, whoa, I'm excited. Driving 55 down on like a school zone. Well, you'll be excited. Gifts are awesome. And gifts are meant to be used, and they're awesome. And God gives good gifts without turning, without changing. God gives the best gifts you can ever get. So what gifts does he give us? He gives us holy gifts, gifts of the Spirit. And I encourage you guys to learn more about the gifts. I don't have a lot of time today. But you can find the different gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, Romans 12, and Ephesians 4. So you can find those gifts there. But I encourage you, check out what those gifts are, because they're amazing. And you probably already have them, and you just don't know. So many people don't know they have the gifts, and they're just kind of using it kind of blindly. But until you kind of know what they are, you can kind of put yourself on where to minister in the church. And so many times it's a blessing. God says better it is to give than to receive. And man, it is a blessing. People go to, there's a band of guys that go out to LA streets and they give sandwiches. You know, it costs them something. It costs them time waking up in the morning, buying water, making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, donating their favorite lucky socks to them so they can wear them because they're cold. And it's a blessing when you hand one of those guys a sandwich and say, God bless you, and their face lights up and you light up, and it's amazing to see, and you feel awesome about yourself, and you praise God because it's so amazing, because it's blessed. It's better to give than to receive. And so many times I thought the gifts for a long time were so I could give people and I don't get anything. Like, here you go, you can have that. But no, actually, it's a blessing to you. It's a way that God can use you, and you feel awesome that God's using you, and you're changing lives and souls for Christ. And the gifts are an amazing way where you can serve God. And that's who we are. We come together as a body, and we have gifts, and we give each other gifts. And we utilize those gifts to help people grow. We edify the body. We build them up together. So I encourage you guys to learn about the gifts, but use them. So many times you can grow so much closer to Christ when you use those gifts. When the fruit of the Spirit is growing inside of you and you see it, man, you get excited, right? Because you see the fruits. You know, guys, sometimes when you wash the dishes at home and your wife goes like, wow, that's awesome. You get excited, you know? It helps your relationship. So, as today, I'm just encouraging you, that's who we are in the church. We're not just the body. We're not just people gathered in one room, but we are the bride of Christ waiting to be married. We are engaged right now, and what we have to do is stay focused upon Him. We have to be purified. We have to keep our hearts clean. We can't be looking at other stuff, but keep our eyes on Christ. And I know it's hard sometimes. Sometimes you want to lose focus, and your feet gets weary from bearing that cross. And you know the burdens are heavy sometimes upon your soul, and you're dealing sometimes with different junk, and people are bombarding you with different things, and all these things are happening. I know it's hard, but He's telling us He's coming back for us. We have to stay focused because we're going to be married one day, right? What if we just give up now? That would be bad. He's coming. You know, it's just going to be a blink of an eye, just a breath, just a sigh, and He's going to be here already, right? And we got to stay prepared. We got to hold on to that cross. We got to bear the burdens of the week. We got to help each other out because one day we're going to be there together, and we want to love Him so much. And we want to tell Him, you know, I gave everything for you. And He says, come in, my good and faithful servant. That's who we want to be. We want to be that purified, that beautiful bride. I'm not going to have makeup or anything, but I want to be pretty for Christ, right? So that's who we are in Christ. So guys, find out what your relationship with Christ is. Make sure you're right on track. You know, if it's not, pray to Him. Read about His word. Get excited for Him. Do the things that you used to do for Him. And then just wait and hold on because He's coming back real soon. So with that, guys, let's pray. Father God, Lord, we just thank You for this awesome night, Lord. And Lord, we just thank You for engaging us, Lord, being with us. Lord, when You saw us before the foundations were ever made, that You saw us and You saw someone that You wanted to marry, someone that You wanted a relationship with, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for anyone that's here, Lord, that if they're struggling in their marriage with You, Lord, in their commitment and their obedience for You, Lord, that You just convict them, Lord, but love them. Teach them on how to love You better, Lord. Put a fire back in their hearts, a direction upon the cross, Lord, and nothing else. And Lord, I just pray for those that want to know You, Lord, that don't know You already, that You send people to minister to them, that they may grow in You, Lord, and that they may be purified when they meet You, Lord. And Lord, we just thank You for this awesome night, Lord. And we just pray for the fellowship afterwards. And we just love You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.